brethren, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Please be seated. Jesus has some very harsh words for the Jews in our gospel lesson today. So the reason why you do not hear the word of God is that you are not of God. He said, if I were to say that I do not know the Father, I would be a liar like you. Before our lesson even began, he said to them, you are of your father the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. These are harsh words indeed. And Jesus says these words to the Jews who had believed in him, according to John the Evangelist. It may come as a bit of a surprise, and yet Jesus has a habit of speaking hard words to those who believe in him. For example, after last Sunday's gospel lesson, the feeding of the 5,000, Jesus taught the crowds in such a way that John the Evangelist wrote, when many of his disciples heard it, they turned back, saying, this is a hard saying. Who could listen to it? And after this, many no longer walked with him. Or perhaps the chief example is our Old Testament lesson, in which God commanded the patriarch Abraham to sacrifice his only son Isaac. Jesus said to the Jews, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. And that means that the God who tested Abraham was none other than Jesus Christ our Lord, prior to his incarnation in human flesh and blood. And what a test it was. God seems to emphasize the difficulty of it all when he says, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you loved. That beloved boy, for whom Abraham had longed and prayed, hoped and dreamed, whom he finally in his old age received, was now to be offered on Mount Moriah as a sacrifice, a burnt offering, offered to the God who had granted this child to the Father, offered by the Father who had received him in faith. No surprise that this story is a scandal to many. The story is a favorite one brought forward by the atheists who would mock our faith as barbaric. To kill your own son? That makes being called not of God, a liar, or a child of the devil tame by comparison. But note the difference between the two groups to whom God speaks today. The Jews in John chapter 8 protest and insult and finally try to stone Jesus to death because he dared to speak a harsh word to them. But Abraham, upon hearing the word of the Lord, rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac. He cut the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. Now, the response of the Jews is understandable to us. If you've ever tried to question someone's religion, if you've ever tried calling somebody a liar, you can see how quickly they respond. But for Abraham to obey God, to offer his son as a sacrifice, well, that may be even more scandalous than God's command in the first place. What's the difference? Why do the Jews rebel against God when Abraham, whom they claimed as their father, obeyed him? The answer is found in Jesus' words to the Jews, you have not known God. That is, their belief in God was superficial, was faulty. Some held Jesus to be a bread king, as we heard last week in John chapter 6. A God who would give you what you want, when you want it, so long as you ask in the right way. Others saw Jesus as a political Messiah, one who would reestablish that throne of David in Jerusalem and expel the Roman invaders. Still others held Jesus simply to be a good teacher, the rabbi who would scratch their itching ears with clever parables and moral platitudes. Whatever the case may have been, they clearly did not believe Jesus to be the Son of God, the Savior of all mankind, Jew and Gentile alike, from sin, death, and the devil, whose word is truth. So whatever they must have believed about Jesus, they did not know God, according to Jesus. And that's why they resisted his word. Abraham, however, knew God. Genesis tells us that Abraham believed the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness. Abraham had learned that God would keep his promises, but he also learned that God rarely kept them in a way according to human understanding or wisdom. So, for example, God promised that Abraham's very own son would be his heir, even though he and his wife Sarah were well beyond childbearing years. And so, according to human reason, it only must have meant that God wanted Abraham to lie with Sarah's servant Hagar. Well, that was not the case, and it led to no small hardship for both lines. No, God himself was going to give Abraham a son through Sarah, his wife, no matter how laughable it might have seemed due to their old age. And so he did. When that son was born, God made another promise. Through Isaac shall your offspring be named. The promises that God had made to Abraham from the very beginning, that he would make of him a great nation, that he would bless him and make his name great, that his offspring would be as numerous as the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore, that kings would come from him. All of these promises, God said, would be fulfilled in the offspring of that one boy, Isaac. So when God tested Abraham by commanding him to sacrifice that son as a burnt offering, Abraham went forth in faith, knowing that God would keep his promise to bless Abraham's line through that son and no other. How could God keep that promise if Isaac were dead? Well, the book of Hebrews tells us exactly what Abraham believed. In Hebrews it is written, "By faith Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it was said, 'Through Isaac shall your offspring be named,' he considered that God was able even to raise him from the dead." From which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. And so the book of Hebrews tells us that Abraham's faith was not generic, but specific. Specifically, Abraham believed that God would raise his son. Abraham believed in the resurrection. And that's why he went forth to Mount Moriah, believing that God would keep his promise by raising his son from the dead after he'd been sacrificed. And that's why he tells his servants, his young men, "Stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship, and we will come again to you." Plural. They would both come back from that mountain of sacrifice, Abraham believed. For Abraham knew God. He trusted him. And so he obeyed even the hardest of hard commands. God still speaks hard words to this very day to every believer, just as he did to the Jews, just as he spoke to Abraham. There are preachers and teachers who will deny that, of course. They say that God only wants you to be comfortable, to be happy. He wants you to be prosperous in material things, to be emotionally well-rounded. They say that trial, temptation, suffering are marks of God's displeasure. Such preachers and teachers are wrong. Just consider what Jesus says in his word. He said to the Pharisees, "Woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you shall be hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep. Woe to you when people speak well of you, for so the fathers did to the false prophets." Likewise, he said, "Do you think that I have come to give peace on earth? No, I tell you, but rather division." And he said, "If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body be cast into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than your whole body go to hell." And many other hard sayings likewise. So this morning, consider, how do you respond when Jesus preaches woe, not blessing, on those who are preoccupied with earthly pleasures and possessions? What about when he says that he comes not to unite, but rather to divide? What about when he tells you that your sins are so dangerous to you that it's better for you to pluck out your eye and cut off your hand than continue in them? What do you say when Jesus challenges your heritage, your righteousness, your beliefs? What do you do when God commands you to sacrifice that which you hold most dear? Do you resist, rebuke, finally reject God, as the Jews did in John chapter 8? Or do you obey, as Abraham did? Again, according to Jesus, the answer depends on if you know God. As those who have been baptized and instructed in the Christian faith, you do. You know God. In fact, Martin Luther in the Large Catechism says that you know God perfectly. Perfectly. How could one make such a bold statement when even the Jews who saw Jesus face to face and spoke to him in the flesh did not know God? Now Luther writes, the Creed, the Apostles' Creed, sets forth all that we must expect and receive from God. In brief, the Creed teaches us to know God perfectly. So do you know the Creed? Did you memorize it as a child? Do you believe in God the Father Almighty and in his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord? Do you believe in the Holy Spirit? Do you confess everything that the Creed confesses? Then you know God. Indeed, you know him perfectly. For in the Creed, you have come to know God just as Abraham did, as one who keeps his promises. You know him as the God who made heaven and earth, the God who suffered, was crucified, died, and was buried, the God who has risen from the grave, the God who forgives sin and will raise the dead on the last day. You know him as the God who makes and gives and provides and defends and guards and protects only out of fatherly divine goodness and mercy without any merit or worthiness in you. You know him as the God who has redeemed you, a lost and condemned person, purchased and won you from all sins, from death, and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy precious blood and with his innocent suffering and death. You know him as the God who has called, gathered, enlightened, and sanctified you and all believers, who daily and richly forgives you all your sins. As from the Creed, you know that whatever hard command has been given to you to bear, an infinitely harder one was given by God to his very own Son. For God the Father sacrificed his Son, his only Son Jesus, whom he loved. Jesus was offered as the perfect, once and for all sacrifice for your sin on Mount Calvary, that by his blood shed on the cross, you might never see death, but have eternal life. There on the cross hanged Abraham's promised offspring, the one in whom all nations of the earth are blessed. There on the cross is the lamb that God himself provided to take Isaac's place and to take your place. And through his body, which the author of Hebrews calls the greater and more perfect tent, Jesus Christ secured an eternal redemption for you by means of his own blood. That blood now purifies your conscience from dead works to serve the living God, to walk in new life. Body broken and blood shed for you, for the whole world. Truly, Jesus has carried the hardest burden of all. And that's why, unlike those Jews who descended from Abraham according to the flesh, Abraham rejoiced to see Jesus' day. By faith, Abraham knew God, that he would keep his promise. Yes, even that very first promise that he spoke long ago in the garden, to Adam and Eve, after they'd fallen into sin. The offspring shall bruise the serpent's head. Abraham believed that that offspring, among all his descendants, as numerous as the stars in the sky and the sand that is on the seashore, that one offspring would be the long-promised, the long-awaited lamb provided by God. In Jesus, Abraham saw it by faith and was glad. And therefore, he was obedient. even when God tested him in this unimaginable way. And therefore he believed that the sacrifice of his beloved son Isaac would end only with Isaac's resurrection from the dead. This God still speaks. Often those words are hard, even to you, as to all believers. Commands, burdens, crosses that may seem too heavy even to bear. But having been instructed in the Christian faith as taught in the Creed, you know him who sends those crosses to you. And you know that he speaks these words to you not for your harm, but rather for your good. For you know they come from him who bore the cross for you and for your salvation. And you know that he did not remain in death, but is risen from the dead, that he lives and reigns to all eternity. And therefore, for you, your end is not death, but resurrection. And therefore, like Abraham, your father, rejoice and be glad. God has provided for himself the lamb, the offering, for your salvation. And thus, like Abraham, your father, you are not dead. You live, and you will live forever. In Jesus' name, amen.